Blog Talk Radio.
Man, I'm a ghost in your stable. I'm a chain with the ableness to catch me if you can.
Welcome to the Sunday night edition of BAMS Radio. Well, what I have to ask the Bama faithful this evening is, who is the best gunslinger on the block? And I think as the season is starting to unfold, we know who has got 2 6 guns and unloading them on the competition. Hey, Thomas, welcome to the show tonight. How are you doing, my friend?
Well, in other news, Bama just pitched another shutout, so I'm doing great.
And actually, from Twitter, I had someone ask me, my friend Heather said, when was the last time that Bama had back-to-back shutouts? And the answer is?
1980.
You got it. So, hey, what a time to be an Alabama fan, and I'm sure that you watched the complete, and I'm going to use a word here, Auburn, if any Auburn fans are listening tonight, this is the word of the evening for you: the complete evisceration of the Hogs. My God, what a stomp. And by the way, our friend Legend will be on in a minute. Blip may be along in a bit. Kerry Clark is over in Atlanta at a Braves game, having a big time over there with Julio the Wonder Dog and his lovely wife. Had a big time yesterday watching the game, bunch of friends over, and King Crimson and Coach Mojo, and man, you name it, just a lot of great folks. Had a ball watching Alabama completely mud stomp Arkansas. And before I go into my soliloquy, Thomas, give me a bit of your feedback. Let's start with Coach Larry Smith, Coach John Larry Smith, Larry Curly Mo Stooges Smith.
He's totally lost Arkansas. I think the most telling thing from that game, aside from all the just first shutout at Donald W. Reynolds Razorback Stadium in almost 60 years, is Tyler Wilson coming out after the game and saying, "I'm going to get the team back together," which to me, I take as he doesn't think John L. Smith can. I understand the gamesmanship that is the Tyler Wilson thing leading up to it. And I kind of give him the nod for that. That's pretty good.
Thomas, this is like a second grade chess kid trying to psych out Boris Spassky. I mean, come on. But, okay, keep going.
Well, okay, yes. Given that it wasn't going to work, but I give him points for trying. He's in a situation where basically nothing he does at this point is going to work. I said at the beginning of the year that Arkansas would beat Auburn and Jordan-Hare. Now it's going to be a dumpster fire off. Who pours napalm into their dumpster fire and sets it off and has a higher flame for about 3.5 hours on the plains that day? It's going to be a joke.
Sucketh worseth. And just joining the show is my good friend Legend. Legend, how are you tonight?
Outstanding, brother. How y'all doing?
I've got to wake you up down there, slap you around, man. I tell you what, you must be tired from watching the same football I watched yesterday. What a fun time. I'm great tonight, Legend. We had an absolute terrific weekend watching the good boys from Louisiana, and I don't mean the purple and gold crew, take the Auburn people into overtime in their own stadium. You know, and if Auburn fans' heads weren't blowing up, then there's just not enough space in the state. But my comment, Thomas, about Larry Curly Mo Smith is that this is a guy that every time he goes to the bathroom and takes a dump, he basically has toilet paper stuck to his shoe when he comes out.
That's fun.
Not arguing.
Not arguing. Okay, we're diving in with, you know, we're giving the good folks in Arkansas the rib punches right now, Legend. And my question for Thomas when we started the show is, just how dumb is this coach? And my second question is, and both of you, you haven't commented yet, Thomas, but would you have let Wilson come on the air and say the stuff that he said? Was that unscripted, or was that approved by the coaching staff? Because either way, you know what? After you call your team out, and I'm an offensive lineman, I'm going to say, quit? You some bitch? What do you mean quit? I'm going to show you quit. Anyway, I'm going to shut up and let you guys have at. And put on, don't even put on the gloves. Go ahead and bare knucks.
Oh, boy. Well, the thing about that whole deal, I feel like it was kind of scripted. If it wasn't, what's it going to make worse? Arkansas might lose one more game? Well, darn. Then they won't go to the I don't give a crap bowl in the middle of nowhere, Alaska. They'll just sit at home. It's not going to affect anything. So if it works, it could actually do something. Remember Tim Tebow being, oh, this team will never try harder, blah, 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 and then Florida won the national title that year. It could do the same thing. I'm not saying it will. I don't think it will. But looking at it from an absolute only positive pie in the sky perspective, that's what you have to see. I think Arkansas is just hosed. They showed no effort. I'm not sure they have the ability to find their intensity. I don't think the coaching staff can bring it out of them. And even if they had it, I'm not sure they had the talent to get very far, because I've been howling from the rafters, and Lanny Beaver can argue with me all the time he wants on this, that Arkansas just isn't a very good team.
Yeah, I love Lanny to death. Legend, your take.
Bacon bits.
Bacon bits.
You know. 52-0, dude. I mean, come on.
Let's analyze a little bit. First quarter, it wasn't a game. And the minute that Alabama established their run, you could just see Arkansas start to implode. And not only that, but the Bama defense, with the way they played D, looked like they were hungry, like they were mean. And the Vinny Sunseri interception was the first vertebra in that back to get snapped. And right after that interception, you could see the steam completely go out of the Arkansas team on the sideline.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And let's just go on and state the obvious. The Alabama defensive secondary passed its first big test yesterday. With or without Tyler Wilson, ha-ha Clinton Dix, Vinny, some young guys really stepped to the plate yesterday. Blue looked really good. I came away very impressed with the fact, Tyler Wilson or not, that defense dominated that game yesterday. And I'm just pumped, man. I just don't see nobody stopping this train of 15. We headed to South Beach.
Like I've said all year long, I got my tickets back in February. But, you know, and another comment is, you know, the conditions of the field, do you think that took away the effectiveness of a Nile Davis? Or was Nile completely negated by that Alabama front four and front three and front five? Because the rotation that they pulled yesterday is, you really couldn't tell who was lining up, if it was three, four, or five guys on that front line. But it looked to me like they just – was it weather that stifled him? Is he not that good? Or was it the Alabama defense?
Well, let me just jump in and say I thought it was the Alabama defense. Again, you had some folks really stepping to the forefront yesterday. Adrian Hubbard really stepped to the forefront, I thought, yesterday. Stinson, the priest, continues to shine. And Nico Johnson is beginning to become the leader of that defense. He is the clear leader of that defense, him and Lester, with Jesse Williams. This is a big-time defense. You can analyze it any way that you want on the national scene. They keep talking about who they lost. But, my God, who we got? We got a lot of high first-round draft picks running around the field on that defense, brother.
Thomas.
It was Alabama's defense. The retooled Arkansas offensive line had trouble figuring out who was coming from where, and they weren't able to get many running lanes, and the few that they could open up were almost immediately stuffed by the Bama D. Nile Davis is a good tailback. He isn't the same back that he was in 2010, partially because the team around him isn't as good, but he'll still get drafted. I mean, he might not go first round like he would have in 2010, but he's going to get on an NFL roster somewhere. He's got all the physical tools. But the Bama defense really showed out against the run. I wasn't as impressed with the secondary for Alabama. They did turn him over, and I like that the Bama defense, their identity is turning into a turnover thing. But if you watch the game, there were some open receivers that were just completely missed by the Arkansas quarterback. And I'm very, very cautious about anointing the secondary as battle-tested at this point until we see what a Tyler Bray, even though he had a horrible game this week, or a James Franklin, because he's going to have so many targets, can do against Bama's secondary.
Well, I'll say this, and this is, by the way, from the chat room. Shout out to Viking Horse, and I agree with you, Viking, that Blue is 100% improved from 2 weeks ago. You can see, and this is where the rest of the nation needs to understand and be afraid, be very afraid, that a Saban defense gets better and better and better as the year goes on. And I'm going to tell you, there's just a streak of nasty in these guys that I haven't seen in the past 2 years. There's a junkyard dog, bone-gnawing, I'm going to have me some ass attitude coming off of this D that I have just not seen on an Alabama team in a, I can't remember when. But I'm seeing improvement, Thomas. You may be right. We may not be battle tested yet, and we're still not going to next week. Let's face it. But we're seeing a lot of kids get played. Legend, did you see Coach Chu pour Geno Smith's ass completely out?
Yeah, I did see that. I did see that. Good sign. Coach is in prime form.
Boy, oh boy. You know, what that tells me is we've got a great player on the making, because he doesn't waste time on the scum. I mean, he got up in his grill. And poor Geno, you know, they showed a picture of him after Coach got all over him. He didn't feel too good, and he walked over to the bench, kind of hung his head. But Geno, hey, buddy, you're a freshman. You're learning. A lot of these guys are redshirt freshmen. You are a true freshman. You're coming into probably the most complicated defense in the pros or in college football. Learn it. Take your time. Do it right. Do what Coach says. You're a bright kid. You'll be just fine.
Yeah, the fact that he's a true freshman and on the field says volumes, because with the kind of talent and depth we have at Alabama, if you're a true freshman on the field, look out. And talking about true freshmen, how about Amari Cooper?
Yeah, baby.
I mean, this guy's starting to look like Marvin Harrison out there, brother. Old school, brother. I like what I see from that youngster.
Yeah, Amari looked good. I thought our receivers looked pretty good through the whole game. I thought AJ was workmanlike. It was fun to watch the backup kids come in. I thought Ely did a credible job. And again, I keep doing the high fives to you guys over Blake Sims. I love me some Sims. So it's fun to watch this team, their character evolve week to week to week. Legend, were you a little bit shocked at the lopsidedness of the score, or was that expected to you?
Well, kind of expected it. Maybe not to the degree of 52-0, but, you know, I just kind of expected the fact that, you know, this offensive line, they're going to maul some folks. And I thought they did a pretty good job of recollecting themselves after last week. Still probably need some help on the outside. I noticed Fluker and Cyrus both have problems with speed rushers. And anytime we go to that empty backfield, they have a lot of problems, it seems. But, you know what? I'm not shocked. It could have been 100-0. Bacon bits, baby.
Well, I mean, Thomas,
this team
obvious.
Is nasty, Bird. This is what we've dreamed of. This is what the nation's been waiting for. We believe this. We prayed for it. When Mike Schumer was there, we said, God, please let him go.
now that USC's little poop bubble has burst, who is the heir appointed now to be the darling of the national media? Because they are doing everything they possibly can to ignore Alabama. And it's, I think, again, in this General Patton tank-like marauding fashion, we are going to – and you know what? I hate to go down this road, guys. I'm telling you, I hate to go down this dusty road. But at the end of this dusty road, I see palm trees, legend. Thomas,
you promised me a trip to South Beach.
I see women in bikinis, Thomas. Women in bikinis at the end of this dusty road. But when Vegas put us, they had LSU number one, they had USC number two, and Alabama number three at the end of the season last year, at the end of January, 1st of February. And, you know, of course, we were all bemoaning the fact that, all these guys going pro, we've got to rebuild the team, blah, 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 blah. I went ahead and bought my tickets to Miami because this is a Saban coach team. Look at the kids that played on Saturday and played significant time. As Kerry said, Kerry Clark was at the birdcage watching the game. He looked at me and says, Bird, they just burned two more red shirts. So two more kids that were theoretically going to be redshirted this year played significant time this weekend. What the coach is doing is he's loading that gun. And if you can play and you are ready, he'll put you on the field. I'm telling you, Thomas, get out your suntan oil. You need it, by the way, because you're the whitest kid I ever saw.
Yeah, too many days
Amish,
in front of a computer.
Thomas,
no.
Are you Amish?
No.
We know we love you, dude.
I'll tell you what, guys. When we come back from the break, let's continue discussing Arkansas because, again, we've got a little bit of an abbreviated show tonight. Want to open this up to the callers as well, 714-510-3707. I'm going to take it to a real quick break, and I'm going to play this song for our good friends in Fayetteville. Welcome back to BAMS Radio. I'll tell you what, you got to love it. We dropped a big bomb on the folks up at the Hoggies up in Arkansas. And I kind of feel sorry, like Thomas said earlier in the show, for my buddy Lanny Beavers with Hogville.net. You know, the message boards and the meltdown threads ought to be epic this week. I can hardly wait for Tuesday. We've got a caller, guys. Do you guys want to get a caller right now? 9146, you want to come on with us and give us a little bit of insight on what you thought about the game? Welcome to BAMS Radio. How are you tonight?
My. It is good to be king. How y'all doing, guys?
Hey, my brother, how are you doing?
Man, I tell you, it was impressive. I mean, you got to step back and go, no, I just don't want to say it. I just want to say it. We got a great football team. And Coach Saban said we're a young football team, and I love that. And they are young. We play a lot of young guys. It was amazing. I don't know how to explain it. People get manhandled in the trenches. I mean, it's a physical, all-out beatdown from start to finish. And I think Saban's got a knob. I think he's got a knob on intensity. And I think now when you got the third string in and they're running up the score, and, you know, not intentionally, they're not doing anything amazing on offense. They're just running the ball, and people are blocking it, and they're making the cuts and making the plays. It's amazing. So I think he's got a knob to this team, and he's going to crank it up when he needs to. But I'm looking forward to the rest of the year, and I'm not going to lie. I've been thinking about that damn Iron Bowl, y'all. I can't wait to play Auburn.
King, I got to ask you, what do you think that intensity level goes up to on that knob on a scale of 1 to 10?
It goes up to 11.
Yeah.
It goes up to 11. Hey, I tell you what, man, I don't know what's happening. The most I've got a friend I've had for 20 years. She will cuss you out about the Auburn Tigers. You can't even talk football with her. I had to do a job with her that called her. I said, well, are you on or off the bandwagon? And she says, don't get me started. And I said, well, on or off? She said, I cut the game off in the third quarter when I went shopping. I said, I don't care anymore. So
Wow. That's
where they at, baby. That's where they at. And did y'all see the picture I tweeted of Van Gorder with his mouth open, sticking his finger down his throat? Did you see that?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, I'll send that to you. You got to see this. But who is this guy? I mean, is he worse than Ted Ruthberg?
You know what? He's an embarrassment. I mean, number one, I loved your porn star thing. You did. In fact, he's on the BAM scroll tonight. If you're in, listening tonight and watching the BAM scroll, we've got that picture of Van Gorder with all the 1970s porn stars around him, as courtesy of the King Crimson. But you know, I think it's a woeful team, and it's hard for me to come down on him simply because he's new. And he hasn't had time really to get his system in place, whatever that system might be. So, you know what? Right now, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to say no. I think Ted Roof was a lot worse than this guy. But we'll know by the end of the year, because what you're not seeing, and I don't know if you heard my comment at the first or just a few minutes ago before the break, but that's one of the things you see in a Saban defense, is that every single game they get better. And you can watch them improve. And I'm going back to Thomas's comment. He's not sold on the secondary. You know what, Thomas? I'm not either, my friend. But I'm going to tell you, I saw a lot of improvement. And I saw a lot of improvement against a team that in the SEC, the national media had picked in the top 10. Now, whether they deserved it or not, I don't give two good you-know-whats. But the national media, they are smarter than the man that jumped out of the airplane with my backpack on his back instead of the parachute, which is a long joke for another time. But bottom line is, what we're seeing is a team that improves every week. I haven't seen that in Auburn, King. If anything, they're slipping backward.
Well, you got to have something to work with first. And you know, they've got the right, we're going to do this. But transitioning from that clown show offense they run, that only works if you got the world's greatest athlete playing quarterback, okay? That's a fact, all right? It's rinky-dink. It's a clown show. So they're going from a clown show to try to be a power football team that maybe we want to run the ball. Well, you can't do it with somebody that's 160 pounds, not in this conference. And their reckoning is really going to come next Saturday. They're going to get beat up. They're going to get hurt. So LSU's going to come in there and lay the wood to them. And I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. That's a fact of life. Alabama's kicking butt. Kiss my crystal balls. I will see y'all. Good show.
Yeah, legend.
Let me ask you this. What's up? What's the guy's name? Buck Meckett, the defensive coordinator over at Auburn, Van Gorder or something like that.
Yeah, Van Pornstar, Van Gorder.
Yeah, what's up with him rubbing his nipples when he's calling plays? What's up with that? Is that like a call or something? Roll over and spread them?
I think it's right out of Married with Children. You know, if he couldn't rub his nipples, he'd be standing there with his hand down the front of his pants, like Al Bundy.
He was over there rubbing his nipples two or three times. I mean, while he was calling plays, I'm saying, damn, Buck Meckett.
It made me
uncomfortable. What the hell's we can't afford a defensive coordinator. Cam Newton sent them back that far. I mean, what's going on down there?
It made me uncomfortable as a male human being, Legend. I'm going to tell you right now.
I had to turn my eyes. I really could. I couldn't.
Oh, God almighty. And, you know, I'm not done whacking on the Hogs yet, but, you know, now that we've brought this Auburn game up, I'm assuming, Thomas, you watched the game?
I did.
And at Legend, you watched the Auburn game?
Yes, with great hope of the 0-3.
I'm almost glad that
they took
them to the wall, buddy. They took them to the wall. And this is a team on their home field. And had they not done the old trickeroo at the end of the first half, that little sleight of hand play that they had a miracle play and a sleight of hand play that they escaped. And listen to me loudly, Auburn fans, you escaped with a win. You escaped with a win only because of a little razzle-dazzle, trickery-wickery bullshit playing that you did. You didn't beat that team. You escaped by the skin of your chinny chin chin against University of Louisiana Monroe. I don't see you going anywhere but down. I've been saying you're a dumpster fire since August, and I will not retract that till you guys stand up and play a decent ball game, and you haven't yet this year.
And that is that.
Nice. Nice, preacher. The Church of College Football up in here.
Well, I got to say, guys, when you really analyze that game, there was no excuse for ULM. Let me backtrack a little bit. Let's look at some of these lesser teams. Let's talk about our good friends from last weekend, Western Kentucky. Going up to Kentucky and doing what, Thomas?
They beat Kentucky on a crazy two-point conversion in overtime.
And where did they beat them?
At home.
Legend, what's up with that? This is the mighty SEC. Has the mighty SEC lost its mojo? Is it no longer the conference it once was? Are there only two teams left in the SEC now, LSU and Alabama?
I've been saying all along, instead of chanting SEC, they should be chanting Alabama.
Well.
I mean, because let's face it. I mean, there's some. Now, I have to say, as much as I dislike Southern fans, the Georgia Bulldogs are a threat.
That was my next question. Did you guys get
to
see Georgia or Florida play and Tennessee play yesterday?
I did. Got to see both of them.
And?
Well, let me say this. I thought Florida looked very good. You know, if they can get that kind of production out of Jeff Driscoll with that defense, you know, Florida definitely had to be considered the front runner in the East, because I think Connor Shaw's just pure imaginary good. He's not even good. He's just imaginary good. He's a flop. So, Florida really showed me something, and Georgia been showing me something all along. Georgia got a big-time defense over there, man.
Well, I'll tell you what.
What
I'm seeing out of Florida is a resurgent ground game that they haven't had in the past 5 years. That they chewed up on the ground yardage against Tennessee to the point that those big orange pukes were. They looked like they'd had their ass kicked by the end of the third quarter. And of course, the Kraft macaroni and cheese wearing fans all left their team high and dry, which I have to give them huge credit for, and that's tongue in cheek. And then Georgia, they looked pretty stout. I'm all over the place. My ADD legend. I don't take Ritalin. I should have as a child, but I've got the 50 TV sets on in my head right now, and one of my TV sets is
vodka, brother.
I can't do that, man. You know me. I got a devil. I got a devil inside of me. I drink that fire water. I'm like an Indian gone bad on a full moon.
It settles me down, can't you tell?
Yeah. But guess who plays for FAU?
Who?
Daron Carter.
Daron Carter's coming to town this weekend.
It'll be the closest thing he ever sees to the field at Alabama.
May start, but it's not for Alabama at Bryant-Denny. Come on home, Daron, you lazy piece of crap, you.
Who's he play for?
Florida Atlantic.
Florida Atlantic.
That's who we play this weekend.
That's who Georgia beat this past week, wasn't it?
That's right.
I don't remember seeing him on the field. He didn't catch nothing.
Nah, he ain't worth a crap. But he is on the team for Florida Atlantic University, and he will be in Bryant-Denny Stadium. And I asked my friend Heather, I said, what kind of chant should we come up with for old Duran? And she says, I wanna take you high up. Booda, booda, booda.
Heather's football crazy, isn't she?
She is football crazy. That's my girl. Love my Heather. That girl knows her stuff.
Yeah, she's a good girl.
Her and Don and that whole crew, man, they sit down, they will talk some football smack with you. But, yeah, it was. I think there's a huge piece of irony in that, guys. Again, I don't know if you heard the word for the evening for the Auburn fans, but the word for the evening for the Hogs was eviscerate. That means to lay open the lower belly and let the guts spill out on the floor.
Cool.
I want to be quiet.
I'm caught up in the moment, dude. You played that out so much there. I'm like, damn, that's pretty damn good right there.
I watch those games. Now, here's I'm going to throw another one against the wall for you. And chat room, chime in on this because you guys are doing a great job tonight cracking me up. The whole media pump up the Heisman race, you know, starting with the Desmond Howard, and that, you know, turned into a little shit bubble and blew up. The next one, of course, was Mr. Barkley with USC. Did you guys see USC and Stanford play yesterday?
I saw USC get ground into dust by a physically superior Stanford team, if that's what you're asking me.
Well, you know, I am, and I'm also asking, do you think that Matt Barkley, or Bat Markley, was a Heisman caliber quarterback?
No. I mean, simple answer, no.
No.
He has the game on the line and has to lead his team to a game-tying touchdown. He gets a crazy play from one of those amazingly good wide receivers on the first fourth down. Then they run the ball for some reason on first down, holding, false start, two sacks, fourth and 40 later. I mean, there's not a play in many playbooks to convert a fourth and 40. So, terrible game all around by Matt Barkley. It should have probably been worse. If you really want to have a little fun mental game, imagine if Andrew Luck had stayed to play the USC team that was on the field last night. Yeah, I went there.
Oh,
so,
boy.
I mean, it completely wrecked his Heisman hopes. USC no longer controls their own destiny, even though I think them beating Oregon was going to be a stretch anyway. And heck, they might have to play Stanford again if Stanford gets by Oregon. So, I mean, the Pac-12 actually got more interesting last night.
In a lot of ways. That was, and I'm not a USC hater. I love their tradition. I love the guy riding around on the horse, you know, with the big helmet on, and, you know, anything named for a prophylactic is okay with me. But it was so fun to watch this overly hyped up. And you know, Lame Kitten has only got 70 kids to play. Does anybody remember what USC's coming off of? Legend, what's USC coming off of?
A loss.
A probation. they're coming off probation, like, you know, Alpha Delta Thigh and Animal House, man. They're on double secret probation. And these guys, they've lost a whole bunch of scholarships. And the fact that the national media had a thin, one deep team. I mean, really, they're a one-dimensional, one deep team as high as they did. It's like, what a bunch of boneheads. To compete at a national level for a BCS national championship, guys, you've got to have a team that, by God, if somebody goes down hurt, you can step in, and you better have not much of a fall off at number two or number three on any position on your team. USC doesn't have that. They couldn't rotate the kids the way they needed to stay fresh in the game. I'm with you, Thomas. I thought they did not look snappy or fresh at the end of the game. That's conditioning. That's all on the coach. Like I say, soft camps cause cramps, baby. That was a menstrual cycle I watched on TV last night. It was a complete menstrual cycle. So bottom line is it was fun for the
bird. Bird freezing, Andy. Bird freezing.
Well, you know, it just irritates the ever-loving BS out of me to sit and listen to
these. I'm going to the bar for a minute. Y'all continue on without me for about 2 minutes.
But just make sure you mix this one with some damn grapefruit juice.
Okay. I'll be back.
Well, at USC, looking at that game, they were just so dominated up front. Their starting center goes down, and this speaks to your depth problem. Their starting center goes down, and the backup just looks like he's never been there because he hasn't, but it really showed out. And the best way I can think to describe this is to give a shout-out to our friend Dave over at I Bleed Crimson Red. He had an article about the lack of depth at USC, and he didn't exactly call the Stanford game, but he very much so made light of it. And it's enormously difficult to go through a season without bumps and bruises and bad depth. The last team to do it, well, the only team to do it in the recent past was Auburn and Cam Newton. When, if you watch the Cam Newton of today play the Saints, he made the Saints look silly. So can kind of expect such things from superior athletes, but it's not going to happen very often. The discussion that's actually raging in the chat room right now has become very interesting, Bert. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but the question is, who's the media going to anoint next? And I have maintained that they're not going to anoint anybody right now. They're simply going to wait and chew over the Notre Dame win over Michigan State over the question of, is Notre Dame back? And wait until this Florida-Clemson game that's coming up, which
yeah.
I think is going to be a really good game. After watching FSU beat Wake Forest 52-0, they have an astoundingly good run game, but EJ Manuel's stat line really jumped out at me. He was 15 of 24 for 190, maybe 180, and a touchdown or two, which is a good stat line, but how do you miss 9 passes against an outmanned Wake Forest team that's obviously on their heels almost from the first snap of the second quarter? So I have questions surrounding FSU, even though they're my national championship pick, but I think it's an interesting discussion. It's going to get some legs this week just because it's going to be enormously difficult for USC to climb back into the conversation.
No, I think USC is out of it, and I think they probably have at least another loss coming up, and I think you're absolutely right that media is not going to anoint anybody until after this coming Saturday when Clemson plays FSU. They so desperately want what I call ABSEC, anybody but the SEC. And I think they would love to have FSU as the heir apparent to the SEC. But, you know, we're going to find out. We're going to find out if Florida State's for real, and I'm not convinced that they are. I think Clemson can go down there and ring their chimes. Sammy is a bolt of lightning. He is faster than greased you-know-what. So, you know, it's going to be fun to see what happens. And I also agree with the chat room. They would love to anoint Notre Dame, too, just simply because Notre Dame so polarizes the country. You know, half the people love them, half the people hate them. Me, I could give a crap, but bottom line is that it's you hear so little about the SEC teams and their dominance. Of course, Auburn and Kentucky have done a great job of saying, you know, hey, we're invincible or vincible or vulnerable, like Kryptonite with Superman. So anyway,
well, Notre Dame. No, what I was going to say to your Notre Dame comment. If Notre Dame plays a team with an offense, I don't know how good their defense is. The talking heads last night were gushing about how Notre Dame looked great. Well, the Notre Dame defense is going to look good because Michigan has Le'Veon Bell and 10 other folks that are massive question marks. No, they hadn't given up a sack before last night, but it's pretty easy to stop a one-dimensional team, and that is exactly what Michigan State was. The Notre Dame now goes to play Michigan, which I think is a really interesting game just because do you stick eight men in the box and make Denard Robinson beat you like Alabama did? Do you have the athletes to do that? That's going to be a fun game next week.
Well, it's I think as the season rolls on, again, this long, dusty road to Miami, you're going to see an awful lot of stories unfold as we find out who are contenders and who are pretenders. And speaking of contenders, we have got a caller on the line. Let's put him on live with us this evening. Caller 5456, good evening and welcome to BAM's post-game summary show.
Good evening, guys. This is Marty from Gadsden.
Marty.
Hey, Marty.
Hey, let's just take a few seconds right quick and just bow our heads and just a little second of silence and just say, and just smell the air and just feel what it feels like to be successful, to be the best team in the nation. Everybody is envious of you. You got the best coach in the country. It doesn't get any better than this. I keep thinking I'm going to wake up out of this dream, man. This is unbelievable.
Well,
you're supposed to be silent. For a moment of silence. Come on. Be respectful.
Hey, I heard the comment about the 74-star defensive coordinator for Auburn, you know, giving the – I heard King Crimson – about that picture about him on the sideline. Let me tell King what that was. That was a suck sign. You know, he knows that Auburn suck, and so he gives them the suck sign. That's pretty bad when you got a defensive coordinator who gives you the suck sign, don't it?
You have to consider his real name is Buck Naked.
You know, it takes a trick play, a Hail Mary, and two field goals to beat a team that drives over on a yellow school bus. That's unbelievable.
Nice. Big win for Auburn. Afterwards.
Well, here comes LSU next.
Yeah, I thought it was a great game. I'll tell you what, it beat my expectations this weekend. It's so nice to be able to sit down and watch a football game. Never get drawn up in a knot or anything. Just sit there and relax, enjoy it, and just be able to look at everything going on and just say, how lucky am I to have a team like this?
Do you guys agree with me that this, and Marty chime in first, but do you agree that we saw a marked improvement in our O-line from last week to this week?
Oh, I thought it was excellent. I thought they did a great job. I mean, you know, I don't see how they could have done much better than what they did. And the defensive backs, I mean, I've seen a big improvement with them. I mean, I don't know if it was the quarterback they was playing against or what, but I've seen a lot of improvement back there in the DBs.
The O-line had a fabulous game. Absolutely perfect thing they needed to rebound. And it wasn't even just the first offensive line group. Even as the second and third string came in, I mean, Will Howell, great kid, but not really going to start anywhere in the SEC. He was getting holes. So that should tell you something in terms of how good the offense as a whole played.
They made him look like a superstar, Thomas. I agree with you. Legend?
I agree. I agree entirely with what Thomas just said and what Marty brought. A dominating performance across the board.
Well, I agree with you guys. I thought it was a much improved performance over the week before, and they still have some gaps. But, they're not going to get, as a unit, get to play a whole game because they are killing people as badly as they are. I mean, when did it look like to you guys that Saban took the foot off the accelerator? Marty?
It looked like about the third quarter, but, about the middle ways of the third quarter, but you know, I don't think he could take his foot off the accelerator. Those guys didn't want to take the foot off the accelerator, that's for sure.
No, I'm telling you, I don't know if you heard the early part of the show, but I think there's a streak of mean in this team that they feel disrespected. I feel like that they are right now establishing their identity, and I think they're going to roll into, you know, we get through the next couple of weeks, they're going to roll into Baton Rouge with a case of the chapped ass. I mean, I don't think he's letting them use toilet paper, and they're certainly in any kind of that bum butter down there, because those boys are walking around like they got hurt asses.
What about that Kenyon Drake, man? I'm telling you what. He
wow.
was very, right. very impressive.
All right. Reminds me of Bobby Humphrey a little bit.
You put a little weight on that guy, man, just give him a little time in the weight room and stuff, that guy's going to be a hoss.
I think he's faster than Bobby Legend. I mean, it may be just my – I've got a fuzzy
Maybe
memory.
Right.
But he I think quicker. He's faster. He is – He's and he's got that same Trent Richardson cut. Did you see him on a wet field plant that foot, going full speed, cut back the other way about three different times, and just completely fake the jock off the guy that was trying to defend him?
Well,
yeah, I noticed that. It was an amazing run. It was one of the best runs I've seen by a freshman like that in a while. I mean, you had to be excited about the future with T.J. Yeldon and Drake, both true freshmen, plus Penny Hill coming in. I mean, 10 Penny.
Don't you guys think that Lacey had a very, very good game? He looked like the Lacey mold to me. He did his circle spin move. Shout out to you, Eddie, man. The circle spin move, patent it. You'll be able to take it, you know, you'll make millions of dollars. Patent your circle spin move. But in all seriousness, Eddie looked really, really sharp for this game.
After I'd said he looks a half step slow leading up to this week, and then
yeah.
he goes and does that, yeah, I'll eat that crow pie. I admit it.
Well, what was fun to watch, guys, is just the physicality of both the offensive line as well as the running backs, almost like they wanted to engage the defense, like they looked up. You guys, now, Legend, you're not too old or too young, but, you know, the great running back for the Dallas Cowboys, Emmitt Smith. Emmitt would engage that way. He'd look down the field, find the defending player, and stick his helmet right in their numbers and run over your butt. That's kind of what all these guys – D-Hart. How about D-Hart? We didn't mention him yet.
Yeah, he looked nice yesterday. That little move he made was quite impressive.
And Legend wasn't just the move, but he would get tackled and his legs kept moving, and he would drag people and drag the pile another 1, 2, and 3 yards on the touches that he got. And it seemed like Burton Burns needs a raise because every one of the running backs got it. They got it against Arkansas. They understood that, okay, after the first hit, if you keep your head down, you keep the ball tucked and your legs moving, and you keep your momentum going forward, you're going to pick up yards. I was impressed. I mean, with every kid that touched the ball, every single one of them.
Hey guys, one other thing, too. When's the last time that you can ever remember that after three games, Alabama has scored 128 points and gave up 14? Now, how many teams can say that in three games?
That's
let's go back through last year, Marty. I mean, they didn't give up many points across all of last year, for heaven's sakes. And you fold this in with it, and this is a continuation of a theme. And I'm going to continue to say, and here's Bird's crystal ball, boys, peering it deep and long with me, because it's starting to get clarified. I'm starting to see the palm trees, Legend. You know, you need to fix my back.
Oh, you promise it. I'm seeing them too, Bird. South Beach. We're on the beach now.
You need
We're
to, you
laying
need to,
out.
I want to
We're
go down
nude.
There where the women don't wear no tops, you know, where them German women are running around, where their boobies flopping around. But I'm telling you, man.
I'm seeing the sand, Bird, now.
I'm looking down that crystal ball, guys, and I'm seeing a team.
Uh-oh, don't look at them crystal balls.
I'm thinking that we're going to look like a fish out of the Coosa River. We're going to have three balls here soon.
That's only, more information I need to know.
Absolutely. Well, Marty, what do you think? You know what? I'm going to save you for Wednesday night because I hope you give it. We pissed somebody off. No, no, honey.
Physics in the house.
No, that's my wife. Honey, it's okay. I'll be up in a little bit.
Here's an Auburn fan trying to come over to the house. My dog just noticed it.
Yeah.
Good doggy.
Well, listen, man, I'll tell you what. I appreciate the call. You got anything else for us tonight?
No, I'd say other than just, you know, the guys, and I don't know if y'all have mentioned much about the rookies in the NFL this week, man. I tell you what, Trent had a great day today, you know, 109 yards, 36 yards receiving, two touchdowns. Mark Barron had 10 tackles today, man. Upshaw, 6, and Hightower, 5. Man, I'm telling you what, Bama is building something all around the world.
I did not realize that. Well, man, we appreciate the call. And I think Thomas was going to talk a little bit about the NFL as soon as I let you guys go with the NCAA. But we'll see you this coming Wednesday, Marty. You have a great week. And, again, we appreciate your call every time you call in. You're one of our best callers.
Roll Tide, guys.
Roll Tide, Marty.
Roll Tide, Marty.
Got to love Marty. Marty brings it every time he's on the program. Trent, 140 total yards, 2 touchdowns. Take that, Jim Brown. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Trent Richardson blew up some fantasy leagues this week. I didn't have to play him, thank God. My matchup was the Saints. Mark Ingram had a good game, though. A couple of touchdowns, even though the Saints looked terrible.
Yeah, Mark had a decent day versus the team. Drew Brees had a decent day, and Mark had a decent day. And I'm ready to send some bags of cash down there for the defense again. Get Roman Harper to pass it out every time they put a lick on somebody. Oh, they can't do that, can they? They're in trouble for that.
That's funny. That's funny.
But if anybody's actually not watching the Niners-Lions game, the Niners are up 14-6 at the two-minute warning for the first half. So,
doesn't Nick Fairley play for the Lions?
Yes, he does.
Well, then they can kiss my ass.
Okay.
That's funny.
I tell you what, guys, you have to love college football, and then they migrate into the NFL, because all of a sudden you have an opinion about where your kids go and where the hated enemy go. And I used to not do that. I used to just say, oh, no, they're pros now, and, you know, let bygones be bygones. Legend, as I've gotten older, I've become more opinionated and crusty. And I just don't let it go. I just hang on to it. And I'll never let that Auburn victory over Alabama go, because we should have prevented them from going to a BCS national championship game.
It was just a fluke, brother. History will look back on it as a fluke.
It was a God thing. I'm telling you, when they came out of that tunnel in the second half, and I was down there, and you looked up at the sky, and the good Lord had painted the sky auburn orange. And you think I'm kidding you, because you know I'm a believer. I looked up at that sky and said, we are so screwed, blued, and tattooed. The Lord has shifted allegiances, and Saban has changed his defense. And Danny Sheridan will follow up with me on that one. Now, he'll agree with me on the defense thing, maybe not so much on the good Lord, but I'm telling you, when they walked out of that tunnel, the sky was orange. And Trooper, that cheating son of a bitch, Taylor, pointed up the sky, and I looked up and I said, oh, shit. Because he saw it too, and I thought, here we go. They are going to make a comeback.
Well, there is this year, which will be a little bit of revenge. That's all
now,
I'm going to say.
Now, okay, boys. Now I've got.
Yeah,
a
there's
question.
No coming back this year.
Now, chat room, listen loud and long to this one. I've come up with an idea that BAMS Radio is going to sponsor one of those airplane banner things that flies over the stadium. And I need for you guys and ladies to come up with something I can put on the back of that plane that sticks it right in Auburn's face. Now, I've had some good ones. Somebody came up with Charmin Auburn, like Charmin toilet paper. I thought that was cute. I had somebody else, you know, from the tweet the other day said, now you ought to put Farmageddon on it. What do you guys think? And in the chat room, come up with something funny, because I'm telling you, BAMS Radio is going to sponsor one of those flyover things just to basically, you know, pull up the old kilt from Robert the Bruce days and slap our Scottish butt right in their direction. Help me out, boys.
I can't wait to hear what the ideas are, because I think this is going to be awesome.
Thomas, I'm sorry I sprung that on you. Normally I give you the stuff before the show, and that's one of those spur of the moment. Legend, come on, man. You're clever. Give me something good. It's got to be righteous. We can stick on the butt of that plane, tow around over the stadium for at least a quarter.
I'm thinking. My thinking hat's on.
Yeah, the
Bama Vodka.
Bama Forever says never again Auburn.
The only thing I got in my mind is that song, Burn Baby Burn.
Burn Baby, I like that.
We could have a picture of fire and that there's nothing to see here.
Well, we could put in quotes.
We got a picture of the barn burning with a thing over there's nothing to see here.
It's got to be some letters. I can't put no pictures up there. It's got to be letters we can put, you know, that tow behind one of them airplanes.
This plane and banner cost $180,000.
Yeah, I don't care. It's worth it to me.
No. That's what I'm saying. You know, it's a joke on the Cam Newton thing, guys. Come on.
Oh, there we go. That was good. It just took too long for it to sink in. And if it took it that long with me, how long is it going to take? The Barners will never get that.
That's the point.
Okay.
They won't be able to try and shoot it down.
No,
with their toilet paper gun.
We want them to get it. I mean, we want them to understand right then and there, you are being disrespected.
Well, there is somebody in the chat room. Bama Fastback is asking for a breakdown of the Missouri game. And I know it's a little off what we generally do on the show, but I can break down Missouri real quick. Missouri is absolutely Big 12 still. They run a wide-open, up-tempo spread scheme. They want to put 4 and 5 wide receivers on the field, and they want to make any defense they play match up man-to-man and get one of their athletes out in space in order to make yards. And then they tire a defense out by just running up-tempo stuff. If you want to see how that game is probably going to go, just watch the Georgia game. It probably won't take as long as it did for Georgia to impose itself on Missouri, but it'll be a game where Missouri comes out strong. They might put some points up in the first half, but in the end, the defensive line for Missouri is very small. They have to do a lot of stuff with messing with gaps to get Sheldon Richardson, one of their best players, free to make plays. So in the third and fourth quarter, Bama's going to do what Bama does and basically just kick Missouri around throughout the second half and put up points and pull away with the game. Missouri doesn't have the athletes to hang with Alabama or Georgia or LSU, all those top-tier defenses in the SEC. The other thing you might want to look at is how South Carolina play them. Alabama doesn't have as good a defensive line as South Carolina just because Jadeveon Clowney has more upside than most teams. But if South Carolina can control the line of scrimmage against Missouri, South Carolina will beat them handily. So there's your little quick breakdown about Missouri. I apologize, I don't have more. This is totally off the cuff. But as Alabama comes closer that Wednesday before, make sure you tune into the show. And I've actually scouted and watched film and picked out the people where the weaknesses and the strengths of the team for us.
Best analyst in the state, Thomas Watts, folks. This guy brings the lumber every bloody week, knows the teams, such an asset to BAMS Radio. That's great stuff, Thomas. Thank you for that.
No problem. Hope that helps you, Fastback.
Hell, it helped me. I sat there with my mouth hanging open. God, that was on spur of the moment. He just dropped the, you know, just spouted facts. By the way, while we're at it, I want a big shout out to Billy with Sunbelt Tents. Had a great time with you this weekend and thoroughly enjoy your product. We will be set up with our Sunbelt inflatable tent this weekend at the Florida Atlanta game. BAMS will be in its typical spot right there on University Boulevard, right across Catty Corner from Denny Chimes. Invite all of our listeners. Please come by and say hi to us. It just thrills us to death to come up and shake our hands and tell us, you know, I'm Viking Horse or whoever from the chat room. And we have a decent time, love our folks, And you know, you don't even have to go into the game. A lot of us sit out and watch the game in the tent. So it'll be a hoot. And Billy, we do appreciate your product, Sunbelt Inflatable Tents, one of the great sponsors on BAMS Radio. Well, guys, we're right up against it. I could do another half hour, but unless callers want to call in, Legend, what you got for me?
Man, I just appreciate you, Bird. It's just an honor to hang out with you, man. Really.
Well, I'm gonna tell you guys, this is Thanksgiving this evening, and Marty kind of nailed it on the head that he was being halfway facetious, but Marty, you're closer to being true and right on, and maybe you weren't being facetious, maybe that was direct on, but I'm gonna tell you, this is Thanksgiving. We need to be thankful for what we have as football fans and the program that Nick Saban has delivered to us. We need to be thankful for the young men that have chosen to come to University of Alabama and to honor us by wearing the crimson jersey. We need to be thankful for Mal Moore, who had the presence of mind to hire a Nick Saban, and the other wonderful coaches and the other sports at the University of Alabama that Mal has put together. Folks, we are living in a magical time. Look down that dusty road with me. Look into that in that crystal ball. Like King says, King's like, I don't want to break it. And I said, King, I tell you, man, I saw it in February of last year. I'm seeing it now, and I'm watching us get stronger. And this team is getting that junkyard dog mean streak. So let's all be thankful for what we have. Let's not a single one of us leave that stadium early. I don't care if we're down 52-0 or we're up 52-0. We stay in the stadium. We support our damn team. That's the way it is, and that's the way the bird feels.
Well, can't argue with that at all. I think
bird.
It.
I respect how the bird feels. You know,
I'm very reluctant to dictate to fans, you should stay and support your team through thick and thin. But as a somewhat impartial observer, were there like 100 people not in crimson in that stadium yesterday? It was, you could tell the CBS people were trying to find the 3 or 4 sad faces left in Razorback Stadium yesterday.
Well, let's face it, guys. It was a miserable day, both on the scoreboard and the Angels were crying on Fayetteville, Arkansas yesterday. So it was a tough day all the way around. But I just disagree with the LSU fans. I will never forgive you for leaving your BCS championship team on the field and halfway through the third quarter. Never will I let you forget that. Arkansas, you suck for leaving your team on the field, even if it was 52-0. Alabama, take a lesson. If I see one of you leaving the stadium, you're going to be in a fist fight with the bird, because I will call you out in front of 102,000 people. Roll Tide, people. Be thankful for Alabama, Alabama football, and the blessings that have been bestowed to us, the Alabama Nation. We will see you this coming Wednesday night on BAMS Radio. We've got special guests lined up. We do appreciate the legend. What do you say, brother?
Roll friggin' Tide, brother.
Thomas, appreciate it. We will see you Wednesday night. Give me a Roll Tide, man.
Roll Tide, Tide Nation.
That takes care of it. BAMS out tonight. We'll see y'all Wednesday.